Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NBA Clutch Time with me, your host, Brandon Burrows, aka Yasha the Beast, and of course, this is coming to you presented by the Playmakers Radio. And just some quick news. As I told you guys recently, we were going to be adding this segment, Narratives, to more episodes of the podcast. Along with that, I will now be doing Power Rankings. I'm going to be updating them frequently. So with that being said, you know, that is something extra for you guys to be, looking forward to. I've actually come to realize that my power rankings are actually very far off from the power rankings that are being put out, by other major platformers like ESPN. So knowing that I have been pretty on point with my power rankings that I personally have been putting my hand into, along with help from, you know, some of my guys from the Playmakers Radio, such as Romano and Chris, and shouts out to both of them. I've had the formula down for power rankings pretty well, if I say so myself, for at least a few years. I actually started following power rankings back on NBA Live 2005, if you guys remember. Power rankings was a big thing around the league in that game. That's where it really started. So, you know, ever since playing that game, and I was about 12 years old, 11, 12 years old, ever since then, you know, I've been big on to power rankings, right? So I think that's played a role, you know, just with the fact that I've been following it for, you know, give or take 15 years. Now, nonetheless, that is actually what I am going to start off with. I'm going to start off with power rankings that I myself have ranked. So, number one, I got Utah Jazz. Why? They have the best record in the league, self-explanatory. And, you know, they've had the best win streak in the league thus far this year. They show no signs of slowing down. Number two, the Lakers. Number three, the 76ers. Number four, the Clippers. Number five, the Nets. So I'm going to stop right there for a second and say these are the top five teams in the league right now. The 76ers are ruling over the East. And, you know, it's not by much, right? Because the Nets are definitely starting to close in on them. But the Nets just don't have the defense right now. Do I think they're going to fix that? I definitely do. But have they fixed that yet in order to overcome what the 76ers have been doing in the league? No, they haven't. Clippers are, you know, fourth. They're a top five team. Of course, they're only like a half game behind the Lakers, if I remember correctly. Right now, the Pacific division is very interesting, to say the least, right? Because two of the best teams from the West come from the same division. Two top five teams are from the same division, and that's the Pacific division. Not only that, you know, had Clippers not would have lost this game to Dallas, they possibly could have been the number two spot. But unfortunately, they couldn't capitalize. Luka magic happened, and boom. So, honestly, it could have been two of the top three teams came from the Pacific Division, but due to the loss of the Mavericks, they fell down, and they ended up in fourth. Continuing, number six, we have the Bucks. Number seven, the Suns. Number eight, the Celtics. Number nine, Spurs. Number 10, the Nuggets. So, the Bucks have, of course, you know, been a threat, as they always are every year, ever since, you know, Giannis, you know, pulled out his breakout. And, you know, they're always going to show exactly who they are. I see no signs of them slowing down. I can only see them getting better, but they're not at the absolute top of their game yet. And that's okay. There's still quite a bit of season left to go. The Suns and the Celtics originally had their order switched. Originally, the Suns were 8 and the Celtics were 7. But in their last game, which was the last game on both of their schedules right before the Super Bowl, The Suns actually ended up beating the Celtics. Therefore, their spots got switched because they actually had the same exact record, and Suns took that game. both teams doing a very solid job, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season is going to play out for them. I told you guys before, the Chris Paul effect is real, and we're starting to see it right in front of our eyes. You know, Chris Paul is not the best player on the Phoenix Suns. You know, clearly it's Devin Booker, but his expertise and his mind, his IQ, his floor general ability, his clutch shooting, his defense, all plays major parts in making teams better. And it's never gonna not be like that until he leaves the league. He's just too much of a basketball genius for him not to have that effect. The Spurs are off to a pretty good start. Some of the best Spurs basketball that we've been seeing in the last couple of years. I think for what is going on right now, they have some adrenaline going on, and they really need to ride on that, and they really need to capitalize on that. Pop was usually a pretty good coach at being able to capitalize on momentum. And I don't see that stopping here. Nuggets are number 10 because the last week for the Nuggets have been pretty shifty. You know, they've been 1-3 in their last four games, and then on top of that, it's just, they have not been having the best start up to the year. Seems like there's a couple things that, you know, they just got to figure out as a team. And apparently letting go of Grant was definitely not a good look for them. They lost a crucial piece that they didn't realize was as crucial as they thought. But nonetheless, you know, they're still head above water. At 11, we got Pacers, number 12, Blazers, 13, Warriors, 14, Kings, 15, Rockets. Okay, I'm going to start off with the Pacers. We expected to see better things from the Pacers, but then, you know, the Victor Oladipo trade happened, and, the Pacers just, they got to figure things out, and they have to figure out how to capitalize on getting more points in their games, because as we all know, Victor Oladipo was somebody who was easily able to put up 20 plus points a game. Now that you don't have that anymore, you know, you got to find a way to make up for that. Blazers at number 12, they're starting to get early middle of the pack. that's okay. Blazers, they can be very shifty at times too. You know, sometimes they start off hot, and then sometimes they start off cold, and then they get hot towards later parts of the season. You never know with Portland, but you always end up knowing that Portland's going to make some noise at some time during the season, and they always find a way to get momentum. The Warriors are not nearly as bad as people thought that they were going to be. You know, people thought that at this point, the Warriors would have been not just a negative win record team or a losing record team, that they would have had a pretty bad record, right? Like, a lot of people were thinking that where the Timberwolves are record-wise is what the Warriors would have been, or even what the Wizards are right now. Because, you know, Draymond didn't get to start the season on a good note. He had a couple things that he had to deal with. No Klay Thompson. So, surprise, surprise, Steph Curry is who a lot of people thought he was from the beginning, and you guys just seem to have forgotten that. Number 14, Kings. Middle of the pack right here. Sacramento, it seems like they're still trying to find their way and build a more creative offense based off of speed and shooting ability. I think the Kings just need to develop more of a slashing game. It's good that you got, you know, certain shooters like Buddy Hield, but it's just like, how do you capitalize on that? It's great that you have the De'Aaron Fox's speed, but how do you capitalize on that? You need a good, solid defensive presence and a good, solid offensive presence, and it just seems like sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off. 15, Rockets. Rockets have a very fair 11-11 record, and, we got to call this one for what it is. You guys didn't expect the Rockets to be on the, even in the middle ground, right? As soon as they lost James Harden, everybody gave up. In terms of the fans, the media, everybody thought it was done. And I told you guys, John Wall, I was like, if John Wall is 80% of himself, John Wall can lead this team to the playoffs. And that's what I'm starting to see, right? Because Wall is a great leader. Wall is a great ball distributor. He has a great IQ. He's a very good defender. And it seems like he lost a little step, but clearly not much, right? And then when DeMarcus Cousins gets pretty good playing time, he gives you pretty good stats. But I feel like they're trying to ease DeMarcus in the right way. Some games he can play the heavier minutes depending on who he's playing against. Some games you want to limit his minutes just to make sure, you know, his body is recovered in the right way. And I think they're taking a very smart approach to that. You know, the Rockets and the Nets have almost had the same exact record since James Harden had departed from the Rockets. So, you know, take that into consideration. Number 16, the Hawks. The Hawks are showing a great amount of potential, but they still got some work to do. I feel like Danilo Gallinari and DeAndre Ayton need to be involved a little bit more. Trae Young needs to learn some things from Rondo. And, you know, that offense just needs to be switched up a bit. We have the Grizzlies at 17, the Hornets at 18, the Pelicans at 19, the Knicks at 20. And the thing about Memphis is, you know, as long as you got Ja Morant, you know you got a shot, right? Because he is that guy. That's for sure. Very athletic. Can lead with an iron fist. Is a pretty solid defender. Ja Morant is just nasty. We know it. Right? The Hornets came off to a rocky start. Are starting to evolve off of it. LaMelo Ball is... clearly he's finding his comfort zone. Constantly making highlight plays. And, you know, we're starting to see the LaMelo Ball that the hype was about. Devontae Graham doing amazing things. And Gordon Hayward showing, hey, man, I'm back. And you're going to regret sleeping on me, right? Pelicans. Zion and Brandon Ingram are a great front court duo. Zion's clearly the most efficient guy in the league, or one of the most efficient guys in the league. Brandon Ingram is a scoring machine. In the backcourt, you got, you know, Josh Hart and Lonzo Ball, and it's like there's not enough offense coming from the backcourt, right? Like, you can't run an offense through the front court, but New Orleans has to because they don't have enough firepower in the backcourt, and I think they're going to figure it out. I think they're going to find a way to improve on it, but they're just not getting it right now. But, you know, sky's the limit when you got somebody like Zion and you have somebody with the adaptability of Lonzo Ball. The Knicks. I'm never going to stop talking about Julius Randle. I told you guys years among years ago, Julius Randle is what Kobe Bryant said he was. Great player, great skill set, and, you know, powerful body. And we're starting to see that more and more and more because he's getting the ball more and more and more. And I definitely love what I'm seeing from Randle because he is everything that I thought he was. RJ Barrett starting to find a little bit more consistency. But I told you guys before, the Knicks getting Derrick Rose was definitely a good move. But that's not who they needed. They need Zach LaVine. They need Zach LaVine now. You have to get him before his trade stock goes through the roof. And, you know, come All-Star weekend, you know, his trade stock's going to go through the roof. So get him while you can afford him and get him now. If you got to get rid of some picks, go ahead and do it. You're probably going to have to get rid of RJ Barrett. You might have to get rid of Alec Burks. You might have to get rid of Austin Rivers. I don't know. But whatever you got to do to get him on that team while keeping Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle, go ahead and do it. Because that's your missing piece to a playoff contending team year in and year out. You need a great offensive player who can score like Bradley Beal, and that is Zach LaVine. Go and get him. Find a way to get it done. Other than that, I have no real complaints for the Knicks because they're doing way better than what people expected. Oklahoma City Thunder, being led by Shai Alexander, it's crazy right now. He's trying to keep that team alive. He's trying to keep hope alive, and he's out there fighting. Right, and the team is trying to support him, but at the same time, they just don't have enough pieces. They don't have enough firepower. But with the lack of pieces and firepower, they're at least giving it what they do have, and they're not at the bottom of the pack. Next, we have the Toronto Raptors, the Dallas Mavericks, Cleveland Cavaliers, Chicago Bulls. Well, the Raptors have shown that, you know, everybody thought that the team was really finding success through Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam, right? But it's like, ever since Serge got traded to the Clippers, it's like the Raptors have not found any, like, they're so on and off, they can't keep a rhythm going. And it's you know, it's not looking great in Toronto. I think they can turn things around, but they're going to have to find the right pieces to turn things around with. Fred VanVleet is a great player, you know, solid role player. Has the potential to one day be an all-star. He's just not that right now. Pascal Siakam, a lot of people were sold on that whole Spicy P thing, and he's an all-star. He's here. I told you I'm not fully sold on it, and you guys are now starting to see why. Dallas Mavericks. Well, here's where the Mavericks screwed up. They let go of Seth Curry, right? The 76ers are flourishing with Steph Curry. Now, they're not flourishing through Steph Curry, but any team can use a shooter like him. Right, and the Mavericks had him, and they let him go. Now Luka has to become a better 3-point shooter, and it's not what people thought it was gonna be. Right, I do think Luka is definitely going to go beast mode and really take over. But you know, there's, like I said, a lot more basketball to be played. But Dallas is struggling right now. Cleveland, once again, one of those teams that's doing better than what a lot of people thought would have happened, right? Like Colin Sexton and Andre Drummond, pretty good 1-2 punch on that team. You know, they, once again, another team that's struggling to have some consistency, but once, you know, they're doing better than what people expected. I do think that Cleveland will get better. You know, it's all about figuring certain stuff out with how they're going to be more effective when it just with certain pieces. And once they figure that out, I'm not going to say sky's the limit for Cleveland, but Colin Sexton's a very good player. And he has the potential to be a very good leader. That's one of those things where it's just like, we're just going to have to see what happens. Chicago Bulls. I call them the Chicago Levines. Reason being, it's really just Zach LaVine and the Bulls. Like, he's trying to carry, and you don't see a lot of aggravation coming from LaVine. You know, he kind of looks like he's out there just coasting it. But the thing is, Chicago needs more firepower. Right? But even more than that, Chicago needs more defense. Like, if I had to choose between which one Chicago needs more, it's defense. They can't defend, and it's horrible. It is atrocious. It's just not fun to watch. Especially when you see Zach LaVine out there just being a walking bucket. And nobody can really, you know, follow up on defense. But, you know, I feel like he's handling it very well. But Bulls have some decisions to make. And If I'm the Bulls, I'll just immediately start rebuilding, like right now, get rid of Zach LaVine because he can do better somewhere else. Now, bottom of the pack, we got Miami Heat, Orlando Magic, Minnesota Timberwolves, the Washington Wizards, and the Detroit Pistons. So Miami Heat, we see are failing right now, but I'm not going to blame the Heat. Clearly, there's been quite a few players that have not been able to play a lot of games, such as Goran Dragic and Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. You know, just having to recoup and, you know, just get their bodies back on track and deal with certain injuries. So I'm not going to brush the Heat off, but they have a hell of a turnaround to make. And I mean, for the amount of time that they got left, can they do it? Yes, but these players got to get healthy. This is the recouping year for them. I don't expect much from them for the rest of the year. Not saying that I'm willing to count out Jimmy Butler, because I'm not, but I don't see a lot more happening for the Miami Heat. However, next year, I think they're going to make a great turnaround. Orlando Magic, well, you know, there's not much to be said about that Orlando Magic team. Vucevic and Gordon are a great combo, you know, for a front court, but at the same time, Aaron Gordon is not showing enough aggressiveness, and Vucevic at times just looks like he's playing the game by himself, and I've never been a fan of that. Minnesota Timberwolves, with Karl Anthony Towns catching COVID, we hope for a, you know, speedy recovery when it came down to him catching that. And nothing in Timberwolves Nation has been the same ever since Jimmy Butler left, right? Ever since they got rid of Jimmy Butler years ago. And he showed, hey, listen, I am wherever I want to be. I am the man, right? And it's not because I have to be the man, or I'm going to assert myself as the man. It's because I can take nothing and turn it into something. And then as soon as he leaves, Minnesota shows that they're nothing again. So, you know, that's one of those things where it is what it is. That team, it's not really much to talk about. They're bottom of the West. There's not really much to talk about when it comes down to the Timberwolves. Wizards. You guys might hate me for saying this. And for whoever doesn't like what I'm about to say, that's fine. I'm cool with it. But you guys are giving Bradley Beal way too much of a pass. And I hate it. I hate it. Because he's sitting out there throwing hissy fits, not trying to hype up his teammates, and then talking bad about his team, saying that they can't defend for squat. Well, you can't defend for squat. You've been a horrible defender ever since John Wall had got injured in the first place 2 years ago. And then on top of that, although your offensive production has went through the roof throughout the last, like, you know, year and a half, almost 2 years, your defense has been so low that it might as well be in the pits of hell right about now. Like, you can't defend a grape in a paper bag, but you have the nerve to sit back and talk about the rest of your teammates not being able to defend. Well, I'll tell you what, you really want them to step up? This is what you do. You lead by example. But I forgot, Bradley Beal was such a baby half the time that he doesn't know how to do that. Like, I thought what James Harden was doing was bad in Houston. This is arguably the worst display of leadership that I've ever seen in basketball ever. I don't care on what level, high school, college, NBA. This is horrible, and it's awful representation of the black athlete. And honestly, there's hundreds of people that would love to be in Bradley Beal's position right about now, and I'm not saying that those thousands of people are nearly as good as Bradley Beal, but I'm honestly willing to say that there are people that's willing to be in Bradley Beal's position that will handle the situation much differently, that will be much more of a leader, and who will play defense instead of throwing stones at a glass house. So when he leaves the Wizards, good riddance, and I hope that they find a player that is worth their while and willing to turn around that organization like John Wall did and Bradley Beal couldn't. So good riddance. Now on to the Detroit Pistons, bottom of the list. Detroit trading Derrick Rose was what Derrick Rose needed. I mean, worst kept secret in the NBA right now is that they're gonna let go of Blake Griffin. They're gonna find a place to trade Blake. Blake's clearly not happy there. We saw him rip out his jersey just the other day, like he was, you know, Superman. Not exactly the easiest feat to accomplish. You can clearly tell that there was some frustration there, but at least he's not being a baby on the court, you know, like how some people were. But nonetheless, Detroit, you know, they're in a rebuilding stage. They're in a rebuilding process, and they just, I just don't know how long you got to rebuild as a team for. Like, how many years of rebuilding does it really take to become just a legit playoff threat? It's Detroit. You're the Motor City. Come on, man. Like, this is going to be the era where it's like, is Detroit going to make any type of noise in this era? Right? Because throughout the 2010s, Detroit really didn't do much of anything at all, ever. Detroit was just horrible through that era. Now, when you look at the 2000s, Detroit was a contender, right? Detroit won a championship in the 2000s. They went to the finals back-to-back. They went to six straight conference finals. Like, Detroit was a monster in the early, or in the 2000s. When you look at the 90s, that's when they were starting to fall off. Like, the early 90s, they still made some noise, but that's when they started to fall off, but they recovered in the 2000s. You look at the 80s, you had the Bad Boy Pistons. We all know what that was. They won a few championships. They went to the finals a few more times, you know, and it was just, they made noise, regardless on if it was legal or not, regardless if it was fair play or not. They still found ways to get things done. And this Detroit team of the last, I don't know how many years, does not reflect on any of the success that Detroit's ever had. And it's just like, yo, at some point in time, you got to get it together. And I don't blame the players, right? The players are just in that position right now that it's just like, what do we do? But nonetheless, you know, it's something that's just got to be figured out. It does. And I hope relatively soon, because nobody wants to see teams be absolutely nothing and get no enjoyment out of even watching the teams. You know, like, I like Isaiah Stewart. He's from my city. Shout out to Isaiah Stewart, the young rookie for the Detroit Pistons. He was from here, Rochester, New York. And I definitely hope that that gives, you know, other hoopers from Rochester an opportunity to be looked at by more major colleges and, you know, be able to have more doors open up for them, because we have amazing talent here in this city. And Isaiah Thomas is definitely, or I'm sorry, Isaiah Stewart is definitely a representation of that. But, you know, as a team, Detroit just got to figure it out, man. But I will return to you guys very shortly. I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back. Okay, and we are back. So, as you know, we're going to transition into the next segment, which is narratives. Right? So, the narrative that we are going to talk about is going to be Kyrie Irving. And, no, I'm not going to let this one go, because you all trashed him, you all badmouthed him, you all found reasons and ways to sit back and make it seem like Kyrie was this horrible creature, right, that just came out of the pits of nowhere and is just no good for the NBA. Yeah, still look at Kyrie Irving right about now. Kyrie Irving is playing some of the most efficient basketball of his life. He is giving us show after show after show ever since he had came back from that two-week hiatus that he took. And with that being said, you remember how the narrative was, oh, Kyrie should retire. Wasn't that made by Mr. Stephen A. Smith himself? No, Stephen A. that said that, right? And I'm not trying to throw no shade at Stephen A., but I think as of now, we can officially say that narrative needs to be done, that, you know, to me, that was extremely disrespectful. Was Kyrie talking about ending his career if certain things we're not going to change in this country. Yes, yes, he did. But can we at least look at the reasoning behind it? Can we look at the can we look at the fact of, you know, a lot of social injustice that has been happening to a lot of people of color? I'm not just talking about black people, but it's been majority black people that it's been happening to, right? So what's so wrong about an NBA player who wants to see a change and wants to be about that change? But y'all want him to sit back and play basketball, right? Now, when it was shut up and dribble, right, and KD and Kyrie and a lot of other players came out and they, and LeBron, they all came up and they stood against that, right? You guys were all for it. But when Kyrie Irving's not choosing to shut up and dribble, it became an issue, right? So I need somebody, anybody, to understand that what y'all are doing right now is nothing short of a double standard. Because when it was anybody else, right, and it was a shut up and dribble, you know, combative movement, people stood together in the NBA to stop that narrative from taking over, right? But when it's Kyrie saying, I'm willing to give up my career to fight social injustice, it becomes a problem. And everybody's like, oh, but he wasn't talking to the media. He wasn't talking to this person and that person. Okay, let's be real here. How often did Kyrie act like he wanted to talk to the media anyway? For years, when the media would interview Kyrie Irving, how engaged was Kyrie in these interviews? Like, give me three interviews by Kyrie Irving where it seemed like he was balls deep in that interview. Please tell me. And I will wait. I'll give y'all weeks to find one. But it never seemed like Kyrie Irving was head above shoulders in these interviews, looking like he was mentally indulged in them. Never. I have not seen one Kyrie Irving interview where it's just like he's so interested in the interview itself. No, we see him be interested in basketball and whatever he's doing off the court, but you rarely ever have seen him be so engaged with the media. No, he never cared about it in the first place. But then you guys get mad when he just comes out and he vocally says, I'm not talking to the media. Then after that, y'all start this whole thing with, oh, he's not even talking to his teammates. He's not talking to his coach. Because Steve Nash has said that he didn't know what was going on with Kyrie. But then Steve Nash doubled back on that statement and said, well, actually, me and Kyrie have been talking, but I'm not going to tell you guys about what. Because that's Kyrie's privacy, and I'm not going to air it out to the public. But yet still, y'all chose to ignore that Steve Nash said that, right? And then on top of that, KD and some other players came out and was saying that Kyrie Irving has reached out to them, but they were not going to say about what. But y'all chose to ignore that, right? But every time a negative thing is said about Kyrie Irving, y'all ate it up. And now he's come back, and now he's torching everybody that's in his way. He's only had one bad game, the recent game where he's 15-5-5, right? But other than that game, he's come back and he's been torching people. Nobody could guard him. Granted, it was already hard as hell to guard him before, but now it just looks like nobody can guard Kyrie. He can take as many shots as he wants, and he's going to make the majority of them, and nobody can do anything about it. But you want to know what I don't hear? I was wrong. I don't hear anybody saying that. And I think it's about time some of y'all start stepping up and saying it. Y'all want growth in the players? We'll figure out how to grow as fans first. Because I'm telling y'all, Kyrie's going to shut up a lot of y'all just like how he's already shut up a lot of y'all. And as he keeps on progressing, I can't wait to see the look on a lot of your faces. Because of the simple fact of, I saw a black man that was tired of black injustice in a country that was built off the backs of black people. And there was just certain stuff he was not mentally able to deal with right then and there, and y'all failed to accept it. Now, when the Milwaukee Bucks ended up just not playing a game in the NBA bubble, oh, y'all were cool with it, right? Y'all were cool that they put a stop to their schedule. When it got to the point where NBA players almost stopped the NBA bubble via a major vote, y'all were cool with it. Kyrie Irving's gone for 2 weeks. Y'all hate it. double standards, and most of y'all honestly should be ashamed of yourself, but I'm pretty sure that you're not, all in the mindset of, oh, well, things change at the blink of an eye. Well, you want to know what changed? You found out you was wrong, and you don't want to admit it. And that's A-okay, but I'm going to tell you what's not A-okay for you to start jumping on the Kyrie bandwagon after he starts torching people left and right. No. Keep that same energy you had before. Remember how I said that about the big three in Brooklyn, right? How y'all said it wasn't going to work, and now all of a sudden it's unfair? No, keep y'all it ain't going to work energy. Y'all can have that. And y'all can stay over there with that. But understand, for the people who knew it was going to work, we don't want y'all over here. Because y'all doubted it in the first place. And that's all I got to say about that. But love it or hate it, I bet you can't say that I'm lying. I bet you nobody that's listening to this podcast, nobody that's listening to this episode of this podcast, nobody that's ever seen any of my work posted on any social media platform, you can't say that I'm lying. And I'll wait for you to say it, and I'll wait for you to point it out, point out the very minute and second that I was lying. I dare you. I double dare you. I triple dog dare you. Please call me a liar. But I bet you won't, because you can't. As long as I have a case to prove, I'm going to prove it. And if I don't have a case to prove, I wouldn't be talking about it. Too bad a lot of y'all can't say the same. Because I actually believe in something called benefit of the doubt. Too bad y'all don't know about that. But everybody wants it though, right? Everybody wants benefit of the doubt. Nobody knows how to give benefit of the doubt. And that's the problem with today's society. Everybody wants it, but nobody knows how to give it. Stay on your side of the spectrum. We don't want you over here. Thank you, Kyrie, for coming back and putting on the show that you have been putting off for us. We know that you're paid to do it, but it just seems like something mentally elevated inside of you because you got to take some time away from the game. You knew what was best for you. These fans didn't. These journalists didn't. These analysts didn't. They act like they did. Because money's involved, right? You can pay for school, but you can't buy a class. That's what Jay-Z said. That's what a lot of y'all need to start taking into consideration. But that's going to do it for tonight. I'm Yasha the Beast, and I'm signing out. I want everybody to have a great day and an even better night. Stay safe, stay cool, and stay out of trouble. Take care. For everybody that's been supporting me, thank you for your continuous support. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and thank you for hearing what I have to say, regardless if you agree, disagree, or somewhere in between. I appreciate all the support that I've been getting, and I love y'all. Have a great one.